Now, would you like to have your Bibles open, if you can, at the Acts of the Apostles? I've chosen a text from the speech or sermon, whatever you'd like to call it, that Peter gave in the house of Cornelius. So, Acts chapter 10. I'll just read you the 37th and 38th verses. This is what Peter said. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. I'd just like to, you don't have to turn to it, you keep your place in Acts chapter 10, but I'll just read you this text also from Paul's letter to the Galatians, which I preached on now some years ago. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So I think we know the context of the verse that I've read from Acts chapter 10. There was Peter called upon by Cornelius to bring God's message to him. And of course, Peter gladly obliges, and amongst other things in his sermon or in his speech, he summarizes, if you like, something of the life of Jesus in that 38th verse, and it is quite compelling. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then we read, he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So I want to focus this morning, if I can, on this thought of Jesus doing good. The Lord went around doing good. It's a nice thought that he went around, he went about. He means that he moved in the world. He moved out and about and did good. He involved himself in the world. It tells me that Jesus did very much with his life. And that alone, that by itself, will stand as an immense challenge to anyone who thinks about the life of Christ, the life of the church. What is my life to be used for? He said on one occasion that he did not come to minister, but to be ministered unto. No, he came to minister. He did not become one who was to be served. He came to serve others. It is one of the most remarkable things about the life of Jesus that he would come and serve others. What a lesson we could all learn for ourselves immediately this morning. A service to the needs of others. It's from the lips of Jesus, via the Apostle Paul, that we read these words: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Wouldn't that change our world? In the me, 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 mine, what I can get for myself, self, me, me, me world. What a difference the words of Jesus would make to our world. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If I can put it this way, his life is a perfect example of unselfish living. In fact, I would say it is a life, when I look at the life of Jesus, that is lived always in the springtime, always in the summer, never in the gloom of winter. There's an old saying in the United States, I'm really struck by it. If someone was sick there and not showing much signs of improvement, and someone came to that sick person or to friends and asked, how are they doing? The reply would often be like this. If they were not recovering, it was like this. He's not doing any good. We don't have that expression, I don't think, here, but in the United States. He's not doing any good. What they meant was that his health was not returning, not doing any good. Those who are not doing any good are always sick. Those who are not doing any good are always sick. They're not living in the springtime. They're living in the depths of winter. And surely to the Christian church, this has to be a very real and constant challenge to every Christian to say, I want to be like my master. To seek to go around, as the text says, he went around to do good. And by the way, this, of course, is not confined to your nearest and your dearest, to your husband and your wife, to your children, but he went around. He was on the lookout to do good unto others. If I can put it this way, he went beyond himself and his family in search of others and their need. And in fact, there is very little that we can glean from the life of Jesus that he was ever concerned at any particular level of doing good to his own family, apart from his commendation to John regarding his own mother when he died upon the cross. I tell you a story of a man who had no purpose in living. I suppose he was very, very dreadfully depressed. And he came to a point in his life where he became suicidal. And he decided to make his way to the pier and throw himself into the sea. But thankfully, he had told someone about his desperate condition beforehand, and this person was a friend. And on the day that he went to the pier to end his life, this friend followed him. And he followed him at a distance and he watched him because he felt sure that something dreadful was going to happen to this tortured soul. And sure enough, this man, in his desperation, he threw himself into the sea. And the friend, who had watched from a distance, did no more than he began to sprint. And he leapt off the side of the pier and into the sea to save this man's life. There's quite a twist in this story, because the man who was going to end his life was a very capable swimmer. And the man who jumped in to help him could not swim at all. And as the man in his desperation turned and he saw his friend, who was so willing to give his life for him, he turned to him and did good to him and in turn saved his life. And seeing this thing, seeing all of this, this poor man depressed by life, being forced to do good to another, his life was changed forever. It's a wonderful example of how we are able to do good to others and go beyond ourselves, go beyond our own interests, beyond our own families, beyond our own wives and husbands and children, and look to others. Now, it tells me, this text, that good needs to be done. So you can write that down, those of you who write things. Good needs to be done. Good should be done in our world. Jesus went about doing good. This tells me that he cared, but not just that, but he believed that good needed to be done. It tells me this. It confirms that he saw the world that he lived in was bad and evil, and it was necessary for good to be done in it. A bad world needs Jesus to do good to it. And it is my firm conviction today, after all these years of being a Christian, that Jesus is needed in our world to do good to it. To do good to the lives of young people who will be the next generations and the next generations. The next generations need Jesus to be good to them. Some people often say that it's not a good idea to focus so much on the fact that things are bad. Well, Jesus focused on the fact that things were bad, and that's why he went out to do good to the world. Some people say there's no point in pointing up all of the problems in society. Isn't that what we find with our politicians of all flavours? They do all that they can to tell us how wonderful things have become under their jurisdiction and care and their superior workmanship. But Jesus wasn't a shallow optimist. He was a realist. And he faced the world that was and that is today. And it's a world that needs good doing to it because of the grim reality of our sin. Of our pain and our agonies and our sickness and death, our terrible sufferings. This is the real world, friends. And Jesus faced up to it. The Christian church that seeks to be a follower of Jesus Christ has surely to face up to this reality. And of course he saw behind the tragic desperation and the pain and the wounds and the suffering, he saw the tragedy of people's alienation from God. And that really is at the heart of it. And if we trace the ministry of Jesus and all that he did that was good, it has to be on the basis of this, that he came because men and women just like us are by nature alienated from God. Our world is not a good place. It is very often a bad place. And Jesus saw that the world was wrong and that it needed fixing. If we lose sight of that, what have we got to bring? As the Christian church, as followers of Christ, what can we do for our world? And this is one of the reasons why I observe that politicians so often struggle, because they can't get a grasp of the real problem. And the real problem is the one that Jesus came to address. Now, it brings me to say this, not just that things should be done, but that good can be done. Not that just that good should be done, but I really believe that good can be done. Jesus went around doing good because he believed that good could be done. And I think often people give in. They quit. They quit with family and they quit with friends and they quit with neighbours, they quit with society, because they just don't believe that anything can be done. And so I just wonder whether the Christian church, with its individual members, how many of them embark upon a new week on Monday morning and ask themselves, what good can I do this week? What good can I do? I repeat this, not just to your children, not just to your husband, not just to your wife. What good can I do? Jesus went around doing good. One cannot imagine him starting Monday morning without the thought of doing good unto others. So let's ask ourselves as a Christian church, when we embark upon a new week this week, let's ask ourselves, what good will we do in our world? I repeat this, that Jesus was not resigned that the world could not have good done to it. And coming back to the politicians of men, again, a man said to me this week in business, he said, we need to leave the world's problems to the professionals, to the powers that be. And I immediately said, they're the very last people that I want to leave things to. The very last people. He said, we should trust them. No, I think we need to trust someone a whole lot better. Why? Because the powers that be don't have a grasp of the cause of what is ultimately wrong with the world that we live in. And the Christian gospel addresses this beautifully. Jesus knew what was the cause of what was wrong, and he addressed it. And if we can just for ourselves this morning understand this much, we must understand the anatomy of our woes. We must understand that we are fixed at the hip with sin. Of course we are. No politician can tell you that. No social reformer can truly tell you that. But Jesus can. And the Bible's view of sin might sound very pessimistic, but I'll tell you this. It's the only reality, and it's the only hope that we have of ever truly making an impact upon our world. The Lord Shaftesbury's of this world Oh yes, people say, oh, the Lord Shaftesbury is of this world. And what they did, social reforming in this country. Wonderful, wonderful. What was the driving force of them? The Christian gospel. What about the breaking of the slave trade with William Wilberforce? What was the backbone of it? The Christian gospel. Of course it was. Because they knew that the cause of everything that is wrong is ultimately the cause that Jesus identified. And without addressing this question, as we go into the world on Monday morning, we can do very little that is truly good. And so Jesus went about doing good. He never believed that the individual or society might just suddenly slip or slide or drift into salvation. He believed that they needed him. And so he went about doing good. We need in our day, for our families, for our children, for our lives, for our neighbours, we need to have something of the knowledge of the Christian gospel that we might do good to them. Now this brings me to the point in the message where I just ask this question for all of you. Would you just think about, just for a moment, the exact kind of good that Jesus went about doing? I think it's only when we stop and consider the nature of that good that we can ask this question, could he be good to me? If he was good to them, could he be good to me? It's making that personal application to yourself. A willingness to ask, could it involve me? The first thing that I would say to all of you, and you can take this away with you, one of the greatest good things that Jesus ever did was to reveal God to us. I think it's the best thing that Jesus ever did, to reveal God so that we might know him. Just imagine if you didn't know how to come to God and you didn't know what God was like. You keep your fingers in your Bibles. I'll read you a Bible verse so that you can all know for sure what Jesus did. Jesus said this. The Apostle John said this. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. If you want to know God, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who can reveal God. When you look at him, you are looking at God himself. How good has he been to us, so that we might not be ignorant and we might not be a far place from God but near to him. No man has ever seen God at any time, but God, the one and only Son, has revealed him. And so to make this clear to the people who he walked amongst, he performed extraordinary miracles so that no one would be in any doubt. I just want to take you through some of them, because the text that we have in front of us is that he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And I just draw your attention this morning to this good that Jesus did, healing all who were under the power of the devil. What more could speak of his interest to do spiritual good to all mankind down through history, that when he was on the earth amongst men, that he reached out and he touched people's lives in their misery and in their infirmities? And so I ask this question, did he heal anyone grudgingly? I think that when people are urged to come to Christ, they think that he would be grudging towards them. Did he heal anyone grudgingly? Of course not. Did he heal anyone sparingly? No, it was his greatest delight. And so I say to people, come to Christ today. Come to him. Will he be grudging toward you? Will he be sparing toward you? Of course not. Jesus healed those who came to him as individuals. You say, it's just only me. It's little old me. What does that matter? Let me tell you something about his healing of individuals. You read it this morning, the leper who came and threw himself at the feet of Jesus. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Do you notice something about the leper's words? He wasn't sure of Jesus. He was sure of his power. You can make me clean. But he wasn't sure of Jesus' love. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I'm sure about your power, but I'm uncertain about your love. If you choose, he said to Jesus, if you choose to do it, if you're willing to do it, I'll be clean. And Jesus said, I do choose. I am willing. This is the nature of the one who went about doing good. I am willing. Jesus is constantly choosing, as we read the New Testament, health for those who came to him in sickness. And it's a great picture of our spiritual sickness. For all who would come to him, I am willing. And I say to all the young people who don't as yet say, know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Is he willing? Of course he's willing. You must believe him. There never was an occasion, not that I know of my 40 years of reading the New Testament Gospels, not one occasion when he refused anyone who came to him in sickness and said, I prefer it that you remain a sufferer. I've chosen a few examples. We read some of them this morning. When Jesus went to the synagogue and he met that poor woman who was doubled over, bent over, and at once we read that he healed her and that she went away in joy. And we read that when the heartless synagogue ruler saw this, he said, there are 6 days for people to get healed on. Isn't that the most outrageous thing? Without you desecrating the Sabbath. And Jesus turned on them in indignation. And he said, you hypocrites, if your ox falls into a pit on the Sabbath, don't you raise it up. Well, what about this poor woman? This poor woman for 18 years who has suffered. And then he says, who Satan has bound. And we read in our text, he's doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil. Jesus gave consideration to the fact that her sickness was a part of the kingdom of evil. And so he went about to deliver her. What a thought that an individual should come to Christ like that. And he had time and moment for her because he was in the business of going about and doing good. And then Matthew records these amazing passages for us. Oh, the teaching of Jesus, the preaching, the gospel. Yes, all Galilee were there listening to his teaching and to his preaching of the gospel. But he was healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And you recall that when Jesus went to Capernaum and he found Peter's mother sick, yes, he dealt with her. But when the evening came, those who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And those who were brought to him were crowds. And he drove out the spirits and he healed those with many diseases. He healed the lame and the blind, and he healed the crippled and the deaf. And many others who came to him. Individuals came and then they came in numbers. And he healed them. Have we missed something of the Jesus who went around doing good? Doing good to large numbers. Doing good to individuals. If we have, we should recapture it, and hopefully it will inspire the Church of Jesus Christ to follow humbly in his footsteps. Well, what can we learn quickly to put into practice for ourselves and make application to ourselves. The Lord is the living Saviour. Is he not about the business of doing good today as he was then? Yes, of course he is. But the Bible says, as you read it for yourselves, you had your Bibles open. The 34th Psalm says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." To know a thing is good, we must be willing to take of it and experience it and taste it. Or else it remains outside of our experience. The leper tasted and saw that the Lord was good. That woman bent over did taste and she did see that the Lord was good to her. Will he do good to me? Will he? Somebody says, "Why doesn't he do good to me?" I've had that said to me over the years. Why doesn't he do good to me? Well, not because he's unwilling. We have seen those who went to him trembling. We have seen those who went to him begging and pleading. We see those with uncertain faith who were not absolutely sure. And yet they went to him. And so I say to everybody, go to him. I don't know what your need is exactly, but I know the overall. I know it's sin and guilt and shame, as Jesus knew it was. I know that our sorrow comes from all of these things. I know that our human nature makes us blind, and we need God to make us see. I know our sinful nature makes us deaf to hear the voice of God, and he's the only one who can make us hear. I know that sin makes my heart to be like a heart of stone towards God, and he's the only one who can turn it into a heart of flesh. You say, "I've got no praise in my heart for God." The hymn writer says, "Oh, for a heart that's set free from sin. A heart to praise my God." It's our heart that's set free, that praises God. You say, "My ears just won't hear him, I'm deaf." Even now, Andrew, as you preach, I'm deaf to hearing what God would say to me. He's looking, he is about the business of doing good, to bring about your hearing once more, to bring about your sight once more. Somebody says, "I've never seen the beauty of the Lord." Ask him to give you sight. "I have never been able to hear his most wonderful words." Ask him to give you hearing. "My heart has never been inflamed for God." God, give me a heart that is inflamed for you. To be able to hear and experience and know and feel the gospel is surely to have his healing hand upon us. And all of the healings that Jesus did, yes, they were healings of compassion and mercy for those who were needy, but they're a picture to show us above all else of his great healing power in the souls of men and women. And that is the message. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I wonder if there are those this morning who are very sound in body. The Bible says even youths grow old and tired. Your body won't always be sound. I'm glad if it is, by the way. Great. When we're young, we always think our bodies will always be sound. But suddenly things come across our lives and our bodies are no longer sound. And it's when we are like this that we feel no need of him. We feel no need of his healing hand upon our lives. But then sickness comes and the end, and it is too late. I'm quick to tell you all that the church has no healing powers. This man who speaks to you has none, and those who purport to have it are misled and misleading. There are no healing powers of men. There's the healing power of Jesus Christ to heal our souls. The church's call is to call all to come and say, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good, so that he can do good to our everlasting lives, not for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, but for our everlasting lives. That is why Jesus came. Does Jesus look compassionate to the needy? If he looks compassionate to the needy in his life, in his doing good, what does he look like upon the cross of Calvary? When all of his going about doing good is ended, and all of his ultimate doing good is in his cruel death upon a cruel cross. In his life, he did good to a few. In his death, he did good to the world. You're a part of that world. Why not let him do good to you? And I convinced you that his interest is going about doing good today, in this month of April, in 2016. He'll make you walk again and leap for joy. He'll make you see again. He'll make you hear again. He'll fill your heart with the good things of God himself. If we come to him who went about doing good, confident that he'll do good to us, he will do. We have to commit our lives to him and go to him humbly and ask of him, beg him for his mercy. And as I've often said, he's more willing to give to you than you are to ask of him. So generous and so gracious is the Lord Jesus Christ. The text says he went around doing good. One day I'll be separated from all of you. Death will do that. One day the young people will grow up and they'll go away, and hopefully they'll remember this church and what was preached in it. And they'll be at university or in studies or at work somewhere else. And I hope they'll remember this day when they heard the message that Jesus went about doing good. And they can recall for themselves that he is willing to do good even to me. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Amen.
Amen.